quarterback of the New England Patriots, Matt Cassel. Good morning, Matt. Congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I don't know if this has dawned on you yet, but your winning percentage as a starting quarterback in the NFL is 21% higher than Tom Brady's, Matt.
All right. Well, I've got a few less starts than he does right now, so I'm just going to continue to work on that percentage.
Numerically and statistically, your first start was nearly identical to Tom's back in September of 2001. Was that just about the way you envisioned it working out yesterday? I don't mean statistically, but in terms of the way the game unfolded, how you, there's that phrase again, managed the game. Is this what you and the coaches had in mind?
We definitely had, that was one of the main focuses for this week, was to go in and take what they give us and manage the game and don't make any dumb decisions with the ball and take care of the ball. And we thought if we did all those things that we'd come out with a win.
What worried you going into this game, Matt? What were you concerned about? What were you a little apprehensive about?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say it was a concern, more so that the Jets defense in general is a very sophisticated defense, and they've got a great scheme, and they do a lot of things and have multiple fronts and multiple looks. And so for us, it's always a tough defense to get ready for. And so going into the game, you never really know or can anticipate what they're going to do or how they're going to play us, because they always play us differently. If you look over the past 4 years, it's always been a different scheme that they've come up with to try to beat us. So going in, it's always there's a little apprehension on what exactly is going to happen.
Well, after the 26 dropbacks, I think, how many times would you say you were confused or didn't know what you were looking at?
For the most part, I felt really good and pretty crisp about my reads all day long. I knew where I wanted to go with the ball. We had rehearsed it throughout the course of practice during the week, and I just focused on what I needed to focus on and made the throws.
Matt, you completed your first four passes of the day for 61 yards. Is that about when your heartbeat got down to about normal range, or did it take a little longer than that?
There was definitely a little extra adrenaline before the game, but then as you get out there on the field and everything starts to settle down and that kickoff goes, you go, okay, this is just football, and you get out there and you start playing.
Can we assume the first, whatever it was, dozen, 20 plays were scripted? You knew what you were going to call?
It's interesting because we do have a script, but we don't always stick to it because it's all based on situational football. So, I mean, you come up with a third and one, and the third play on your call sheet might not be exactly that. You
right.
know what I mean? So
right.
You do have a few plays that you look at that you'd like to get called early, but at the same time, it's all based on situational football. So you definitely can't just go down that list and say, okay, we're calling this the third play, we're calling this the fourth play.
I'm sure 100% of quarterbacks in this league would say the offensive linemen are their friends. These are the guys who keep you upright and healthy. But second on that list probably has to be somebody like Kevin Faulk. And my guess is it wasn't a coincidence that Kevin Faulk was going to be the receiver in your first pass thrown. Pretty reliable and always makes something positive happen, it would seem.
Oh, he's an outstanding player. And there's no doubt the offensive linemen did a great job yesterday. But Kevin Faulk is a pivotal part of this offense. And he's always able to get out in the play and make great plays for you, and you can always rely on him.
Obviously, things went well for you, Matt, but I'm wondering, do you ever, in the huddle or even at the line of scrimmage, look over at Randy Moss and say, oh, man, I got Randy Moss. I got to get him the ball. He only had two catches. Didn't matter. It was a winning effort for all you guys. But just looking at Moss, I would tend to think that quarterback's thinking, I have to throw his way. This is the best receiver in the game.
You'd love to throw the ball to him every play and every opportunity you got. But unfortunately, with the defenses the way that they play,
right.
It's almost somewhat ridiculous to think that you can throw to him every play because of how they play and how they're going to double-team him and do those things. So you just have to be patient, and we have to be patient, and we have to take what they give us. And if they're going to double Randy, it's going to open up other players. And at the same time, like we just talked about, you want to get the guy the ball because he does unbelievable things with the ball in his hand, and we're definitely going to try to do that throughout the year.
Can you tell us what happened on the play where you tried to get it to him deep, you underthrew it a little bit, he didn't make the catch? The announcer, was it Sim, said that he improvised on that play. That was not a called play. He just felt like he could beat his guy, and he waved his hand and kind of signaled to you that he had him deep. Is that the way it went down?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I'd say that I guess he must have saw something in the coverage, and we had a play action pass, and I had a little bit of pressure, and I just saw him throw his hand up. So it kind of caught me off guard for a second, but when you see that, you say, all right, just throw it up there. So I tried to get the ball off as quickly as possible because they were coming with a little bit of pressure. And yeah. And I didn't see the end result of the play because I actually was laying on the ground with some big guy sitting on top of me. So, but, yeah, that's really what happened. It was kind of improvised, and he must have saw something in the defense, and he went for it.
Matt, end of the second quarter, you took a pretty hard hit. It looked like you hurt your right knee. Just between you, me, and Jerry, what went through your mind when you felt that pain? You got to say, you got to be kidding me. After all this weight, I'm going to get hurt here. Tell us what happened there, what it felt like, and what you thought.
Oh, it was just a little bump and bruise. The guy caught me awkwardly in my stance, but I'm fine. It's been perfectly fine. I came out in the second half and didn't really have any problems. You know, the last thing you want to do is go out there and get injured, and thankfully nothing happened.
One of your offensive teammates said the following about your performance yesterday. He wasn't trying to be Tom, but he was vocal like Tom. He was enthusiastic like Tom, and he had that look in his eyes that says leadership. How does that look in your eyes even exist, Matt, based on your lack of, you know, in-game experience? Is that just the way you have to be wired to be a quarterback in this league, to have leadership, even though this was your first start?
Well, I think if you're in the quarterback position, you automatically have to take on a leadership role. And whether or not you have experience, right now I'm the guy that people are looking for a little bit of leadership, and you have to go out there and you have to stay composed and you have to lead the team whenever possible. So I don't think it really has anything to do with experience. You just have to do it and have to accept the role and adapt.
What has Tom had to say, or how much has he helped so far, Matt?
Tom's been great. We've had many conversations about the game plan, about life, about what's been happening over the last week and a half or so, and what's going to continue to happen. And in terms of football, he's been my biggest supporter, and just continues to give me nothing but words of encouragement and great words and advice about how to manage the game, how to be efficient, and take care of the ball.
Well, what has been the most eye-opening thing so far for you being the new quarterback of, you know, the Patriots? I'm guessing you may not have seen this morning's paper yet, but they have a tail of the tape where they compare your wife to Giselle, and I'm like, this
oh my gosh.
She stacks up pretty good. She's much taller. She's much taller.
Yeah,
that's hard to believe.
Than Giselle,
she's
right?
taller
yeah.
than the world's most famous supermodel.
There you go.
There are things I'm sure that you don't exactly relish, that you don't exactly welcome. But what have you? How has life changed off the field?
You know, off the field, it's just been a lot more notoriety and a lot more people trying to get a hold of your time for the most part. I mean, people want to do interviews and a lot more media attention. And I think everybody in my family has been contacted at one point or another to do an interview. So it's just a lot more attention. But when I go into the field, it's just business as usual. And I don't really let it become a distraction. I don't pay attention to any of the sports shows, or I don't read the newspaper, and I don't blog or do anything like that. So it really hasn't become a huge distraction for me.
Well, I got news for you. This article, this picture at least, is going to be in your locker, because they also have a picture of you and you're about to plant a kiss on your wife's lips here.
Boy, I'm looking forward to that.
This is going to be hanging in your locker. Plus, the whole world got to see you in your Little League uniform with your little chin strap under your baseball helmet coming up to bat in the Little League World Series yesterday.
That's what I'm talking about. That was good times back then. That's when we used to go to Round Table Pizza a little too much. I weighed about 100
Moose.
Pounds as a 12-year-old.
Moose, that was your name, huh, Moose?
The Moose, yeah.
When's the last time anyone called you the Moose?
Probably when I was 13, but I've moved on since then.
Hey, Matt, I don't know if you've been out and about in public very much since last Sunday, but I'm starting to see Matt Castle jerseys in stores and malls and out in public. Have you seen them yet?
I have not.
Yep.
I have not seen them.
Yep, they're out there.
I'm going to have to go pick myself up one today.
Hey, from a football standpoint, and you can dumb this down so we understand it, what does having two running backs in the backfield do for you and this offense when they're back there 35 out of the 56 plays that you ran yesterday?
It was just something that we went into the game plan this week, and we believe that it would benefit us because we've got a great tandem of backs right now with five guys that can all play, and With Ben Watson banged up a little bit, we just thought that that would be a good personnel group to have out there on the field.
Hey, every week, every coach and at every level of football tries to play the disrespect card and tells their team that no one thinks they can win and no one believes in them and tries to rally the team that way. This week, for the first time in recent memory, Bill Belichick and the Patriots coaches could actually, they could mean it. It was actually legitimate. A lot of people picking against you, a lot of people thinking it was the Jets' time. Was that the theme in the locker room? And just how emotional was this team going into this game, Matt?
The team was fired up, you know, and it not only was fired up about the doubters, but at the same time, we knew it was a division game against the Jets, who was a big-time rival, and everybody got up and raised the level of play. And this week, the coaches just came in like they have every week, and everybody's been saying, look, a lot of people are counting us out, but it's business as usual. We got to go out here, and if we execute the game plan, we'll win. We've got enough good players on both sides of the ball to do that and to achieve that with or without Tom. So, and that's really was the theme throughout the week.
Hey, man, I don't know how much of a stat geek you are, how much you pay attention to it, how much you put stock in it. But when you look at a lot of the team stats in this game yesterday, they were dead even. Total net yards rushing, net yards passing, time of possession. And yet a hidden stat, I think, might have been a big difference in the game. That would be field position and return yardage. People rarely look at that, but I guess your average point of start was 42-yard line, your own. Theirs was 21. That's a big difference, is it not, for the quarterback?
It's a huge difference, and that's what results in points. The defense did a great job of backing their offense up and keeping them from moving the ball, and then our return game was outstanding. Kevin Falk had a great return and set us up for some more points. So it's all phases of the game, and when every phase of the game complements one another, then that's when you win games.
It probably didn't occur to you once during the game that you were playing against Favre because you weren't. You were playing against Brett Favre's defense. But my guess is that years from now, with grandkids on your knee, when you talk about your first win, you might mention the fact that in your first win, you beat Brett Favre's football team.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I have a lot of respect for Brett Favre, and I've always enjoyed watching him, as so many people have. And I grew up watching him, and just to be across the sideline and to be able to say that I had the opportunity to compete against a legend and a guy that's going to go down into the Hall of Fame, it was exciting and definitely a big moment for me.
When do you put this game away, this tape away, and look at the Dolphins? Does that begin today?
I'll start today when I go arrive at the field. So it was nice while it lasted, and then we're moving on, and we've got another big division game this week.
Hey, did you, not a sigh of relief, but did you get a sense that the day might be going your way in the second quarter with a tip pass that Kevin Falk ended up catching for 9 yards?
Oh, man, when that ball gets tipped up in the air like that, anytime it does, you look up and it's the longest 3 seconds of your life. And then all of a sudden I saw Kevin jump down and make that catch. And I was like, oh, I love this guy. I love
him. Yeah, that's another advantage you had. You had Kevin Falk back.
Yeah.
He wasn't there last week. But was there a point where you got sick of hearing this guy hasn't started in 9 years? He has not started since high school?
You know, the funny part is I didn't hear any of it this week. There was a lot of outside noise, but I'm telling you, my wife and I work hard in my household just to leave all the distractions on the outside. And there's a few questions, obviously, throughout the course of the week from the media about the 9-year deal. But to me, as Coach always says, practice preparation becomes game reality. And in this game, the way you practice and the way you prepare becomes pivotal in how you perform on Sundays. And, I mean, I go out and I work hard and I'm diligent about it, and I believe that I could go out and do it.
How much did you sleep in your hotel room the night before the game? I assume your alma mater allowed you to go to bed early because the USC game was over at like, you know, 5 minutes into the game was over. And then do you sleep more the night before a game like that or the night after?
I think the night before you kind of try to get to bed. I mean, there's so many things going through my mind. Checking the game plan over and over again, making sure I've covered every little inch of that thing. But the night before the game really wasn't too bad. I got to bed early. I won a bet off Mike Vrabel on the game, so I was pretty happy. Just a gentleman's bet, of course.
Yeah.
But it was not too bad.
Dude, can we expect to see him wearing USC colors today in the locker room?
Right? No, I don't think so. I don't think he'd ever do something like that, even if that was part of the bet.
So would you win? I mean, you must have won. There must have been something at stake here.
Oh, he's definitely taking me out to dinner.
Oh, all right.
Hey, Matt, final question for me, and I know it was only one game, but did you answer any questions that you had about yourself in yesterday's game that you won't have to re-ask this week as you get ready for your second NFL start against Miami?
You know, not really. For me, I, like I said before, I have a lot of confidence in myself, and I surround myself with people that have confidence in me, and it was one of those situations where I knew I could go out and win in the NFL and in this league and at this first start, and the guys believed in me as well, and I just hope I continue to do it.
All right, don't forget now, you want to text Brady two numbers. That would be 1,000 and 787. That's your winning percentage and his.
That's awesome. I'll text him right now. I'll wake him up with it.
Matt Castle, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next Monday on Patriot Monday.
You got it. Thanks a lot, guys.